This one is working. Have it. It's totally fine.
Hello? That one works great. Gosh, there's something really wrong. If none of them work, but these work so well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Nobody jumped when we asked about public participation, but that's because maybe nobody could hear. Is there anybody who would like to have their input now? Dr. Gingold has requested, since there are maybe a couple of unfamiliar faces to him, that everybody introduce themselves, so we could just take 1 minute to do that.
Lynn Canfield, mental health.
No comments specifically from me today, so we can move on to item 6, executive director's comments.
I think I should pass too. We have a lot. There's so much information in the board packet. I want you to have time to talk about it. There are only a couple of decisions to make, but there's still a lot of material here.
Okay, item 7, we're moving on to approval of board minutes from the June 26th and July 10th meetings. Action is requested.
So moved.
Discussion? All in favor of approving the minutes as presented?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Those minutes are approved from those two meetings. We have financial information beginning on page 6 for 3 months, July, August, and September. I'm going to make a motion to approve those financial reports as submitted.
Second.
Accepting it as presented. Is there discussion? Dr. Gingold's question? Okay, then the motion is to approve the financial information, the claims reports as presented in the packet. All in favor? Opposed? The claims reports are approved. Under new business, we have a CCDDB mini grant proposal that begins on page 17, goes through page 25. This is a one-time opportunity, at this point anyway, to recognize unmet need, especially for equipment, technology, recreation, targeting people without publicly funded supports, either from the state or the DDB or MHB. The grant is for individuals only and for up to $5,000 per person. I'm really excited about this. I think that we have so many people in the county who are underserved or not served at all, and I think this is a tremendous opportunity to help individuals and their families acquire at least some help, you know, something to kind of help them out with something specific. And so action is requested on this. Is there a motion? Further discussion? Well, my take on it is that it's almost like a pilot, would you say? A pilot project. We'll see how this goes. To me, one of the biggest questions I have is how well are we going to be able to market this, get the word out to people? And I think to a great extent we're going to probably have to rely on ISC to do that, and I think that they certainly have a better handle than probably anybody else in the community of having the big picture. So it seems like a good place to start.
You have to sit here at the microphone and talk really loud.
That's such a good answer, too. This is the best answer.
231, and there might be a small pool of people who've received a one-time support either through clinical or the IFS program.
We actually have a lot less information for you in October, so there, even if there are action items, there would still be time for a presentation. And that the RPC is always represented at this meeting, so I think that you should. And the rationale, so how it works is really important. I think that's also important for the public to know. the Facebook live stream right now to exactly the people who need to know. So I think it's a great presentation. Is that all right for you? Where appropriate and as appropriate to the request, or I mean, we started with in support of the specific request, and then we backed off of that, and just, you know, anyone who can vouch for you would have some documentation through PONS that they're eligible and what services they're receiving, that a person at least exists in PONS. Auto exist. Well, we could probably just completely strike it. Says later, it says that we may ask for more information. So this would, so just completely strike it. It appears in other places, like the checklist.
So if there's no further discussion on the mini-grant motion, I think that since we're going to strike, so we could be prepared to vote on this if we word this correctly, that we are going to...
If I understand that revision correctly, it impacts three places in the application and... We just take them out. It's not really easy. So if it's okay. That straightforward, then I think you can.
So which one of you made the motion?
Originally, motion was made.
Okay, So I'm just going to go ahead and read the motion, but does it need to be reiterated by the person who made it?
You can accept a friendly amendment, right?
Okay. All right. So the motion then would become to approve the executive director and CCDDB staff to implement a mini-grant process as described in the pages above with revisions as discussed in meeting. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion approved.
What you're looking at is the three-year plan with revised objectives. And so this is not a, so it's a separate action, and it's for information only. So this is a perfect time to make suggestions like that, and we'll bring you a final draft either in October or November, probably November. For this, yeah, exactly. Or if you
are, you're perfectly welcome to voice your recommendations today. But we're in a draft form, so it won't be on the table for a vote today.
And there's also, after this meeting, we'll send this out to the providers and to some stakeholders, some active family advocates, and sometimes we send them to other sectors like education. I'm not sure if we have a really solid list from special ed right now. But, you know, send them around to get input from others. So there is a period of time. If you think of another change you'd like to see, just send us a note. But this is a fine time to do it, too.
So that is actually our next agenda item. Item B is the draft CCDDB three-year plan with FY 2020 objectives. It begins on page 26. It goes through page 33. The brief memorandum and proposed draft are included. And this is a perfect time now to about your items. Okay. Item C, the DDB allocation priorities and decision support criteria begins on page 34 through 43. Briefing memorandum with proposed allocation priorities and decision support criteria is included for information only. Comments are welcome, though.
So this one will also be shared with agencies and other stakeholders. And, you know, it's, you may want much bigger changes than we put in this year, but we every year, I think we're trying to make it a little bit more accessible language-wise. So there's always room for improvement, even on that level. So there's a period of time here, also probably till November, for any comments that you might have. You'd think the priorities themselves really need to be rethought in a much bigger way and reorganized. That would probably be, that's nice to have a board discussion about, so you can all.
So that, but just to be clear, that is also a draft.
Yeah.
Item D, building evaluation capacity. Final report on building evaluation capacity for programs funded by the MHB. Year four is included for information only. It's a hefty document, pages 44 through 112. Comments are welcome.
What?
Dog and pony show.
think they're reviewing all of the agency programs which have been suggested for the pilot part. So it'll be good to catch them. Again, we might be able to get them in October, but they also do workshops that are open to all of the agencies. Kind of nice to hear about that, so that you all, like, there's something in it for everyone at the table.
Okay, item E, board direction. Any board members have anything specific that they'd like to discuss today?
What we just looked at, the dissertation as described by Dr. Kingold, and our new plan to try and use some of the monies that we have for individuals to apply the evaluation process to those individuals we're going to try and give. It would really help further this idea of trying to work with individual families, how successful this is with the pilot.
That's really cool. Yeah. The contract with the U of I evaluators is pretty narrow. Like they'll work with two pilot programs. So to take this on in addition, I mean, this is more like up to 25 pilots, you know? Like we don't know how many people we're going to get. We can actually target them because we know who they are, all 231 of them. So it would be a pretty interesting cohort to apply some kind of outcome evaluation measure to, or outcome measure to, but we didn't. I mean, it's a lot more than we're currently asking from that contract, but we could certainly talk about it with them. I mean, pretty cool.
Thinking about it as something new and already have set in place a way of evaluating effectiveness right from the start, if we're going to try and use this not only as a pilot, but as a movement towards the future of how we want a portion of our board monies spent for the community, start that evaluation. If possible.
We can talk about this afterwards and get back to you next month, or maybe even send out an email to, you know, in the talk about it. But it seems like one thing that evaluators do for us is provide support to our staff. So for this project, an appropriate evaluation tool might actually just be consumer satisfaction survey. And this is also a group of people who participate in something like that once a year with it's on top of PUN's re-enrollment. They do an assessment paid for by the board, and then it's kind of neat. It's like our part of our community needs assessment on an ongoing basis. So it's not out of the question to ask people those kind of satisfaction questions. So maybe there's a tool that we could use and keep it outside of the project but manage it ourselves. So anyway, I think we will look into that and get that.
Okay, item F, successes and other agency information.
Caitlin with CU Able, that was really loud, sorry. I have a couple successes we want to share with you guys. We were awarded the Mountain Film Grant in partnership with Champaign Outdoors. We plan to use the grant to get people outside. Our first activity we actually have coming up on Sunday. It's at the Sangamon River Forest Reserve. We're partnering with them. The trails out there, we're going on accessible trails, and then we'll be meeting after and having a little party for everyone. The whole community is invited. And then we'll have some more money from that grant, and we have some more activities that we hope to be doing soon. Also, our partnership with Good 360 has been going really well. This last month, I believe, or 2 months, however long it's been since we've been here, we've given away 2 Lazy Boys to families in need, one in Pasadena.
I'm Becca with Community Choices. We had a couple things to report. So I think back this spring, I talked to you guys a little bit about our sort of efforts to find supportive roommates for individuals who are looking to live in the community on their own, but do need a little bit of support there with them overnight. Feel comfortable doing that. And one of our approaches that we were using was to reach out to organizations that might be connected with people who and to see if that was potentially a source of people who were interested. That really had been one of the challenges that we'd kind of come up against. And so we reached out to, I think it went out to 86 different email addresses, but there might have been some overlap in terms of organizations, housing authority, townships, other service providers, just some community groups, including the Phoenix Center. And this summer, we were contacted by one of the caseworkers at the Phoenix Center. They'd been working with a woman who had been homeless for the past 2 years, who she thought would be a really great fit. And so we were able to match her with one of the families that was looking for a supportive roommate, and they kind of went through about a month-long sort of process of getting to know each other to see if it would be a good fit. And they're planning to have her move in here in the next. Actually, so it has been a really sort of a really lovely experience, I think, for both parties, and they've really learned a lot from each other. So it's obviously in the early stages, but it was really nice to see kind of that come full circle. So as that continues to grow, I will certainly let you guys know, but we're pretty excited about that. I also wanted to just take a minute to announce the fact that, as I may have said this at an earlier meeting, but Hannah Sheets is here, and we have sort of moved her into the position of associate director. So I don't know if you want to say anything yet.
I wasn't prepared to say anything.
Just say hello.
Yeah, so happy to be here. I'm Hannah. I used to be a Connect coordinator. I'm the associate director at Community Choices. So, yeah, happy to be here.
Anna.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry. we have 2 fundraisers coming up, so I just thought I would announce those. We have our chili cook-off, which we've done every year for, like, I think 10 years, maybe 9, on Sunday, the 29th of September, over at Ambucks Park, and it's open to everybody, and we have a pie raffle and chili and auction baskets. And we're also doing a murder mystery fundraising dinner on October 19th, and it's off-brand Harry Potter theme. It's going to be really fun. You can sort yourself into houses when you sign up, and it's on Eventbrite, and there's a link on our website, too, so if you guys are interested.
Hi, Katie Harmon from Regional Planning Commission. I just wanted to quickly announce that with our new expanded grant, doing person-centered planning, funded through the board, I wanted to thank all the other agencies at the table. We met with them to kind of work out the logistics and collaboration, how that would work with the new folks we'd be working with, and everyone's been collaborative and supportive, so that process is up and going, and we have three new staff that we've hired on to do that work. Their names are Angelina Berg, Tiffany Nagel, and so they'll be doing the business. But again, thanks to all the other organizations at the table for working with us.
Hello? Okay.
It worked.
Okay, I had 2 things that I wanted to mention. One, yesterday I participated in a conference call on a work group that I'm going to be working with. Respite services for the at the state level, which is a hot topic for all of us, especially as a provider that was not granted that award this time. But I did want to share that there were 2 agencies in particular in the northern part of the state that lost the grant and it discontinued services for hundreds of people. And so part of this group is to look at it to see, is there any kind of way that, you know, there it could be redeveloped as something that could earn a Medicaid match? Is there any way to... the thought is that before the NOFO, that they really didn't have a good handle on who was receiving the services, what parts of the state, and they only allowed 5 voucher, and the rest were in-home, and then they had to, does everybody know what that means? So a voucher program is that, like a family is awarded an amount of money, and then they can find a provider. And you're seeing more of a shift toward that because it's very difficult to find providers. I mean, it's very difficult for that's a statewide issue. So then the in-home, they didn't have that many people apply for in-home because then the providers are hiring the respite workers. And so they had to reissue that NOFO to try to solicit more input and didn't get a lot of turnout for that. In the meantime, this work group is just going to kind of look at that, and I'm going to be doing a Freedom of Information Act to find out what form, to find out what they're willing to share about our application. I don't know if they'll tell us about the process, but if there's any way that they could tell us how they scored it, that was one of the things I asked right away, and because I said it would help us with future grant requests or, you know, just to kind of see where we're at, and they informed me that we needed to do the Freedom of Information. So I will do that. And then that led to, there's been some discussion about Envision Respite, and I'm not real familiar with what their plans are in this community. I emailed them this week and heard back, and we're planning on meeting with them the first week in October. So I know Kim. Once I have a date, I'll let you know, and maybe you can piggyback on the same day or something. So that's just kind of an update that we are kind of working at the state level to do something to look at the system and make some recommendations about how they might pursue that in the future. No, I can't. Yeah. That's why I'm going to be meeting with them the first
news
week in October.
To me, so you don't know anything about them either.
But I know, yeah, you did do something with that, didn't you?
So they came down to one of our co-op meetings, one of our quarterly co-op meetings last week. So Sean C. Schroeder, she was here, did a brief presentation on what the service is like. And so, and I can send you all, I did like a quick summary that I sent out to our members of kind of what those services look like, and I can forward that along. Basically, it's, they encourage families, anybody who's not receiving state-funded services, so home-based or CILA, like they are eligible to apply. There's no waiting list right now. It provides 180 hours of in-home respite, which means that you can hire somebody that comes to your home. You're not allowed to then leave, which I thought was... So if you are an adult and you're looking to have somebody come in and provide you support, it has to be in the home. So just a caveat to that. The workers are then hired by Envision, but you can identify your own worker. So if I was receiving services, like I could say I would like to hire Hannah. She could then sign up with Envision, similar to how it kind of, or not well, different than Homebase, but it funnels through sort of them, a third party. And they are only paid minimum wage right now, so $8.25 an hour. That is, I think, the basic sort of run of how that works. So I can send out one.
They also came to speak to our independent service coordinators. And my understanding, and I don't know if they have yet, Becca, maybe you know, that they were going to hire a coordinator for the Central Illinois area. They're also covering McLean County.
DHS award.
It's interesting because when they did provide respite, they had it broken down by levels based on the level of support that somebody needed. So that's kind of interesting that they're. So it'll be interesting to learn more about that. So I mean, I appreciate that you guys. There's any questions that you want asked or any further information, we can do that in the meeting. And then I know Kim was. And And then if anybody doesn't have, I have one more other thing if we're moving on. Several years ago, this board gave the grant to Community Choices and DFC for Employment First. And one of the things that we did right away was attend the Vermont APSE conference, if you remember, and then entered into a one-year consultant contract with Dr. Brian Daigh from Vermont, which is like the Center for Inclusion at the university. And Annette and I have been asked to actually be speakers at their conference next month as a result of all the things that have happened in Champaign County, and with that grant specifically to help educate employers and some of the changes that we've made as we transition more of the in-house to community. So that's very flattering and very exciting, and I just wanted to share that we will be doing that, I think, probably at the time of this meeting.
Oh, I can talk really loud. You guys know that. So
it's on.
Oh, it is. Well, awesome. So a couple things. As I have one quick announcement. At PACE, I do the personal support worker orientation. I do it every month. And since July, I have a few people on the list. So I felt like I reached out to a lot of the organization here, and they're very much very helpful for me to be able to kind of match people up. We are having an advisory board meeting on September 20th from 1 to 2. It just gives another opportunity for anyone who are looking to be a personal support worker and consumer who are looking to hire a personal support worker just to do a soft meet and greet, because sometimes it is kind of overwhelming to just do a one-on-one interview with someone, and then next thing you know, I don't know if I really want to hire that person or not. But having an advisory board is kind of having this kind of conversation, having coffee and drinks and stuff like that, and kind of looking at everybody saying, oh, I kind of like the personality of that person. How about giving me that data sheet or something? So it's kind of like it's not quite an interview, but it is an opportunity to meet someone that might be beneficial to work for you, or you want to hire them and stuff. So I would like to announce if anyone's interested, for any consumer that wants to come to the advisory board, to please come, the 1 to 2. Just let me know so I can plan for how many people that's coming so that I have enough food. Another thing is, I think we were all thinking of the same thing, because I reached out to Swansea, and so we are meeting with her too in October, the beginning of October, and she did say that she is traveling a lot. And so there is a lot of overwhelming need around central Illinois of people looking for respite. So hoping for that another collaboration there for us at PACE to be able to kind of share our database with those consumers that are looking for respite program. So she's kind of looking forward to that, because I do orientation every month, and there is people on the list. So if anyone's looking, feel free to call me, because I do want to send those people out to be able to match out. It is, sorry, I'll talk really fast. It's September 20th from 1 to 2. It is only like a quick meet and greet. We talk about a little bit topic. The topic for this advisory board is the background check, because most of the people that I am helping right now are not having any funding, so they're doing their own background checks. So I'm trying to kind of give them resources about that and stuff. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. Yes, it is at PACE office.
At what's going to impact? I don't know. I mean, I think until we meet with them, I'm not going to be sure what their resources are and how, if they're covering that many counties, like what the allocation is, if that's by county or by number of people. Our respite, the state-funded respite, has been gone for probably 5 years. It was on hold for 2, and then they just, they went from grant to NOFO and limited, and most of it did not hit central Illinois at all. So in this last NOFO, like I said, there were I was disappointed to hear that a couple of providers that already had the voucher program in place had to reapply, you know, because there was no new money, and then for them to be experience a loss of service that was pretty immediate. That's one of the, you know, one of the things that they really want to look at. We have, you know, a huge need, but we also have not solicited that because we don't have anything to offer right now. So, I mean, if you've got 231 people that are potential candidates for the mini grant, that's a perfect example of an unmet need that we haven't really tried to quantify lately.
That's what PUNS is for.
Yes. Yeah. Well, PUNS would definitely keep track of it. But again, it'll be interesting to talk with them and get the summary that Becca was mentioning too, to see. I had no idea that it was that kind of region, and it's also disappointing that the award went to someone that's going to be traveling all over instead of, you know, kind of regionally administered. But that may be because of the in-home component to it. I worry about a minimum wage.
That's really bothering me. Two things, the minimum wage and the in-home requirement. How does that help families who, you know, who might have a relatively young child that they need break from, just saying in plain language, they need a break from if they can't leave the home?
The majority of the families that we support, there would be occasions where they'd want somebody to come into the home so that they could leave, but a lot of occasions it was accompanying the family mm-hmm. places and
right.
where they needed extra hands and eyes and ears, and also to take them to do things. So, I mean, like the mini grant, some of the park district expenses, you know, and that is a respite for families, so I would hope that might be something that people will take advantage of. It'll be interesting to learn, but we're a couple of weeks away, and it sounds like that dialogue happening, so we'll see. Right?
That's great about the first a consultant.
Moving on to old business, the revised DDB draft budgets for 2020 are included, beginning pages 113 through 120. For information only, there's been some tweaking, there always is, until final numbers are achieved. And are we there yet, or are we still going to have more revisions, Lynn?
I was just thinking about that. There are always the counties. Projections are changing all the time, and then whatever is deposited next May, June, or July is the reality that we live with. So from this point on, the budget is going to it's just like any other budget. It's a guess, and we keep tweaking it. So I think this is as final as we can expect, and whatever the county board decides in November is either. They either say yes or no to levying at this level, and then after that, it's under your control. So if there were if we needed to make major changes to this budget, we would bring it back. If they're minor changes, we discuss with the executive officers. And really minor changes, we just, you know, like, it's the end of the year, and we needed to, well, this is true. We've spent a little bit more on an attorney than I expected to, and it's been helpful, but it means we'll take out of a line like, for example, conferences or office supplies, where we tend not to spend as much. And this year, half of my conferencing was paid for by a private foundation. So there's, I mean, I think we'll probably not bring you back another version unless something really wild happens. And what I mean by wild is the county board says, well, we're over levying, so we're going to give you half this money. And then we will need to come back to you to propose a new budget, because a significant reduction of the planned levy will affect everything. So, but otherwise, it has never. Surprisingly, property taxes are becoming less and less popular. So it could. But anyway, I mean, I think last year this was the September or October version was the last major budget that we, the major format that we needed to show you. And then after that, it was just tweaking. But, you know, there were some surprises last year. We did get less than expected. So but I think the real challenge is if we get, supposed to be really careful how we talk about it. We've levied for some revenue that probably not will become available. And I think I'm not really supposed to say much more about that, but it's a famous property tax issue in this county. So if that money does become available, we have planned to use all of it on agency contracts, contributions, and grants. That's where having a process like this mini grant could be very helpful. If we understand some of the things that people need, can, you know, and are ready to apply for, sort of like the state of Illinois' capital infrastructure right now, if you've got a shovel-ready project, it's the time to raise your hand. So we could be in a position like that where, oh, we've got a lot more money than we really needed for agency contracts, but people have all these unmet needs. There's 231 people getting nothing that we know about, and possibly a lot more people that we don't know about who are also getting nothing and need something, and then some people who are getting something and it's not enough. So I think the need is absolutely there. We just have to be really nimble, and the budget would be the very first step of that. So otherwise, you don't expect many big surprises.
Item B, agency PY 2019 fourth quarter program reports are included, pages 122 through 147. Oh, board action, yes. Okay.
There are two decisions.
Okay, I will just make the motion then. Okay. So there are actually two motions to be made, so I will go ahead and read them both and then take that second. The first motion is to approve the attached 2020 CCDDB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $4,373,905. The second motion is to approve the attached 2020 SILA fund budget with anticipated revenue and expenditures of $76,000. Payment to this fund is consistent with the terms of the intergovernmental agreement between the CCDDB and CCMHB. We have a second. Okay, regarding the first motion for the DDB budget, yes. Regarding the second motion to approve the 2020 SILA fund budget. Yes. Okay, moving too quickly there. B, agency PY 2019 fourth quarter program reports for information only. Comments, questions? Okay, partial year 2019 service data, activities and service hours is included on pages 148 to 162. Comments, questions?
So the reason that you have no annual reports right now is that the deadline for everything that agencies do for us is 1 month later when we get to the year end, because they have so many more reports to give us. So the deadline was about 2 days before we were putting the board packet together. So fourth quarter reports are easy, but the rest is not. And so I think that is appropriate for October, and we can put that together, right? I think it's... What the most important question to me is, what form is helpful to you all? And maybe that's a question that you can give us feedback about after the meeting. Like, what's going to be the most helpful format? Because we do have loads and loads of information. And we kind of... I think we just sort of... Sometimes we just sort of guess, or in this case, we only have black and white, so you get bar graphs. There are other ways to represent data, but we don't, because we don't use a full color board packet, we don't tend to use, you know, so like there is a lot that we could do that we don't, because we're not sure if it would be helpful.
Item D, our meeting schedules are on pages 163 through 166. Comments, questions?
For the last 2 years, our October joint study session has, I feel like, been kind of a mixed bag, like maybe a bomb. And so the mental health board has some stuff to do at that study session that does involve the DD board's priorities, But I don't know if you all want to even attend it. It's at 5:30. So I was going to ask the DD board if they'd like to be off the hook for that. I mean, it's, you know, you said...
Specifically, are they discussing that's DD related, but
they're
going to kind of...
What they're doing at these next two study sessions is next week they'll review two of their four highest priorities, and it includes looking at what they're currently funding and the history of the priority. And they really just wanted to have a discussion about why are we doing this and is it still relevant and should we just scratch these priorities and start with something new. On October 30th, they'll review two of their high priorities, and one of those is the relationship with the DD board. So by October 30th, I thought we could at least show them the draft of your priorities document. Maybe by October 30th, I'll have input so we'll know it's closer to a final draft. And then they might want to discuss that with you, or they might, usually they just...
Well, timeline-wise, they would be discussing their relationship with us, and then what comes out of that meeting would be more relevant to a study session with them in the following month?
I don't know. I hadn't. Okay. I mean, we were really this is a very tight timeline. I can't even present them with a draft of priorities until after October 30th, which gives me about a week to turn it around. So I hope, normally they just, there are several people on that board who have a really solid understanding of DD issues and the funding, but they tend to just defer to what you all have decided, and that is sort of encoded in the arrangement. So I would like to show them at least a draft of priorities for you. I know it won't be final, but it could be closer than the one I have right now. And I don't know what kind of feedback they might have, but that's a stakeholder group that we would be reaching out to anyway. So it could be like that I'm up all night for a week, you know. But there isn't really an opportunity to loop you all back into a discussion other than that at 5:30. I mean, other than like you all or, you know, email everybody. So did you have a suggestion for a study session for those two? I would say not the first one. September 25th, they're going to talk about innovations and access to behavioral health care, and they'll also talk about, well, this one you might be interested in criminal justice and behavioral health, because we do, you know, everyone says sort of with an asterisk, yeah, we see lots of people with DD in the justice system. And that's all that the conversation, you know, amounts to. So that could be interesting for you, but in the main, it's a board discussion of those two priorities. On the 30th, the discussion is around system of care, which has also a long history, and then the agreement with the DD board. I guess I really haven't thought this through, like how I'm going to cram all the post-October 30th activities in there. Up all night.
So would you recommend that we continue, that we leave it a joint study session, or would it be easier and better to follow up later?
Does anybody want to come at 5:30? Because it would, you also, Mental Health Board and DD board members are always welcome at each other's meetings. I think it's just very hard to do both in one day, the opposite ends of the day.
Well, then I guess maybe for now we should just leave as is and get a consensus, don't you think?
And if you all did want to, you know, have that be a robust discussion, including you, we could certainly do the DD priority first so that you can leave. System of care, I think, will be a long discussion. They've been working on that for 12 years.
Okay, acronyms on page 167 to 174. CMHB input, other than what we've talked about today. Mark was here. Is he still here?
Oh,
They're meeting this evening, and they have a roughly similar agenda to yours.
Staff reports, pages 175 to 191. Included for information only, unless there's staff members that like to make comments about their reports. Oh, there's
I just have a shameful plug. The case management series coming in October, the morning session, trauma-informed. That was last year's. I can't remember. There it is. Applying trauma-informed approaches is almost full, so if you've not registered for that one, please do so. The afternoon session, organizational wellness, creating a trauma-informed organization, is geared toward upper-level and mid-level staff, and that one is not full, so expect to get the Eventbrite again this week and next week until it gets filled up or until you register.
He's just an excellent speaker. I enjoy listening to him, so I'm looking forward to that.
I spared you all my national conference session notes. I'll just send those later because it's a lot of editing. There's like starts with about 60 pages. So there was a lot in July. Most interesting to me was a DSP incentive project that's being launched right now in Iowa. So I referenced it in my staff report. I think it's very important. I guess Polk County, Iowa, is where all the decisions get made for this country, so they might as well tell us how it goes for this DSP incentive program before we do anything like that. But I think it's worth us really tuning in. What they've designed is a training curriculum that pays the DSPs to come. So, and they did this with the National Association of DSPs. So it's if it goes well, I'll explain the basis for it and what I think we could do with something like that here. And I have been talking to our attorney, by the way, about some of these special projects, just to make sure we don't innovate outside of what your statutory responsibilities and authorities are. So that's a question he's working on with me, too. But the other thing I wanted to share with you is that just last week at our Friday meeting of the State Association, we had a trauma-informed system presentation, and it was really interesting because the association president, he's like, I don't know, you know, we want to do trauma-informed systems, not what you guys are doing in Champaign. So he got these speakers from Boone County, and it was a really good presentation. It was really helpful. But in the end, it turned out that we are about 12 years down the road from what they're doing. So after the meeting, Chandra and those speakers had a pretty good conversation and traded business cards, because turns out we know a lot about the journey that they are, or what it can look like at least. So that was not really a surprise to me, and I was really glad you were there and that you offered to talk to them, because they're doing everything right. It's wonderful that they're doing it, and they were able to start with the schools and the health district, which I think is very powerful. But it is it's a process. I don't believe that you can go from phase one to two to three to four and never go back to phase one, or that the work is ever really finished. So anyway, congratulations to Champaign County for.
Okay, any other board announcements? If not, we are adjourned. Thank you all very much.